First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning.
Hello and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is August 7th, 2022. I'm Larry Rhodes, and our guest host today is Dread Pirate Higgs. Hello, Dread.
Ahoy there.
We also have the John Richards from over across the pond in England. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religions, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstitions. If you think that you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're probably not. In Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us. And we'll tell you more about that group after the mid-show break. Dred, what's our topics today?
Well, I thought we would talk about how to better engage people of religion. And John, I believe, well, I know you said you wanted to talk about shunning.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? And John?
I did.
Yeah, you did, Larry. Sorry. And John, did you have something you wanted to bring into that as well?
Yeah, I've got a couple of possibilities for later on, but Dread, I'd hate for us to miss your invocation.
And thank you for that that invitation. I'm called to invoke the power of the true creator of the universe, the drunken tolerator of all lesser and more recent gods, and maintainer of gravity here on Earth. May the great flying spaghetti monster rouse himself from his stupor and let his noodly appendages ground us each in our seats.
Ramen.
So how are you guys all doing?
Doing very well.
I'm sort of okay. But you know what? I'm sure I've had another bout of COVID. Thing is, I don't test anymore because I recognize it. You know, it's my old friend that I've had three or four times. And it just makes me have a day wiped out, bit of congestion, some mysterious muscular pains. And I sleep it off and I'm okay again.
So how are you getting exposed to it so frequently? Is it just through your kids? And
probably. You know, it's fairly rampant here, but it's a mild version, and I'm fully vaxxed up, so you know it's not even like a very bad cold.
Are you guys doing the second booster now?
Yeah, I've had I think they call it second booster. I've had four.
You've had four, so you've had your second booster.
Yeah,
I'm coming up on that. How about you, Larry?
Yes, I think I've had three. I'm not sure if I had the fourth one yet.
Right. So how are things going on in your corner of the planet?
I'm sorry. Oh, mine?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine. Just working every day. Just work a day world, as it were.
And, what are you working at?
Oh, I'm an AMLS, anti-money laundering specialist.
I look at
bank accounts and see if I think that there's something hanky-panky going on there or not.
Ah, interesting. Do you guys, do you apply, I think it's, there's some special thing about numbers and digitized messages and stuff that they can run it through an algorithm?
Definitely. I work a lot of alerts that come to me from the computer algorithms.
Okay.
But it's up to humans to verify that, no, it's really suspicious or not. And we can recognize the special circumstances and the computer can't.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I'm sure.
How long have you been doing that for?
Almost a year. It'll be a year in October, I think.
And you just work from home?
Yep.
Cool.
Matter of fact.
Well, you're going to have to give me a link because, you know, that's kind of up my private investigator alley.
Well, they're definitely looking for people. The only stipulation is for people who are listening, they do require a VA. And it's, I don't know if I can mention the company or not. I guess I'd rather not, but I'll tell you in private chat.
Sure.
But if you're interested in the topic, certainly go look for it on the internet. Okay. There, people are needed.
Cool. Yeah, sounds like a vital service to me.
Yeah, for sure.
We want to stop fraud.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, human trafficking and,
drug
trafficking and all that. It all points to money laundering.
Right. Recently in British Columbia, in the last couple of years, there was a big row about casino money laundering and just how rampant it was. Yeah. And, you know, now everyone's playing catch up and trying to figure out who did what and what went wrong and what protections and protocols need to be in place in order to prevent it from happening again.
Well, they're particularly interested in looking at cash transactions. And if you they have a limit that they a cutoff limit, I think it's $10,000. But if you know the limit is $10,000, you know, they're going to have to make up a cash transaction report if you do that, anything over $10,000. But if you try to break down your deposits and make like $9,000 a day and $4,000 tomorrow, that's structuring, and that's against the law.
Right.
I mean, so be aware. Go ahead and have them fill out the report.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I work in real estate as a realtor. Where we go through this thing called FinTrack, which is, it's a anti-money laundering and proceeds of crime legislation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's a thing. We have to verify identities. And again, if cash transactions over $10,000 need to be reported and all that kind of stuff. So,
right.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, pretty much it's, you know, becoming certainly worldwide.
Especially now that the provisions of the Anti-Bank Secrecy Act are coming to fruition. That was passed in the 70s, but they gave the banking industry many years to come up to snuff on the regulations, and those deadlines are now hitting, and that's why anti-money laundering specialists are really needed.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think that we should shun people who launder dirty money.
Beautiful. Nice segue.
Yeah.
Well, take it away, John. Tell us about shunning and how Larry, that was your topic.
Okay. I think it's despicable because it's the thin end of a wedge, isn't it? And if you follow that, you start with shunning somebody, which means keeping them out of your family, your tribe, or whatever it is, the group that you're in.
Yeah.
And the next stage is dehumanizing them. And after that, it's sending them to the gas chamber. So it's a progression,
right.
And it starts with shunning, and I find it despicable.
Yes,
it's
funny because it doesn't only happen in a religious milieu. It happens like on Facebook. If you're not speaking the popular talking points, or if you take a view that's inconsistent with what's trending, I guess people will dox you.
The reason I wanted to bring up shunning today is really religious shunning is what I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
And that's for people who used to be among your group, and then for some reason they decided to leave the group, and the group tells everybody still in the group to have no contact with that person.
Yes.
And that basically tells them that let's say your family is still part of the group, you can't have contact with your family. And this is a church telling you that you cannot contact your family.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of it, I'm sure, is the fact that there's reasons that people leave the church. You know, they figure out that it's a hoax or that it's just not true. The claims are invalid. And then you leave. Of course, the church don't want you,
spilling the beans.
Spilling the beans. That's good.
Yeah,
or contaminating the rest of the flock with your newfound knowledge. So, of course, that's why they instigate it in the first place. But it's a despicable practice, and most churches, I'll have to say, do not and practice this. But there are an awful lot of them that do.
Well, there's three.
Bring it up.
There's three sects in particular that do this, isn't there? There's the JWs.
JW, yep.
Mormons.
Right.
And Scientologists.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
And on that.
Almost most partially the Scientologists.
On that subject, there's a recent news item about Tom Cruise.
Right. Yes, yes.
You want to go into that a little bit? I don't remember seeing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Well, as you know, he's just played his hero role in the latest blockbuster movie and earned Hollywood about $1 billion in the first few weeks of it being released. And in order to do that, he downplayed his usual very public endorsement of Scientology because it's not so trendy now, not so popular. In fact, it's had so many attacks from former, you know, ex-Scientologists
right.
that the reputation is now trashed. It's been associated with trafficking, people trafficking.
Human trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And other nefarious pursuits. So
sure.
He doesn't want to be associated with it now, and neither does John Travolta, I suspect.
Right. Isn't it outlawed there in Canada, Dredd?
Scientology? What's that, sorry?
Is Scientology outlawed in Canada?
It's not outlawed. No, no. Oh, okay. I don't think it's recognized by the CRA as a charitable organization or a religious organization.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. But they can still practice there.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. And they've actually got a great big building right on, you know, one of the main streets in downtown Vancouver.
Wow.
You know, with their little. Yeah, it's they've been there. They've been well established for many, many years. Yeah.
Okay, I'm surprised.
We've got one of their buildings just up the road from me here. I'm ashamed to say.
Yeah.
But they've obviously picked up some fame and some money in the past from their pyramid scheme, as it's being described.
Ponzi. Sure. A Ponzi scheme, yeah.
Most organized religions are.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's a curious thing, too, when you think about it, is like, you know, sort of this outsider test of faith is viewing Scientology in a worse light than the Roman Catholics or the Mormons or the JWs or any other religion for that matter. It's all toxic. It's all part of the same, you know,
really. Just a matter of degree, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. That's it, right?
Yeah, and the worst part to me is that, I mean, even worse than Catholics, I hate the concept of confession, you know, and that you carry into the church every dirty thing you've ever done and tell them, you know, every member of your family does, every member of the society that's mm-hmm. Catholic carries it in there. But at least they don't record it. Scientology.
As far as you know.
Yeah.
As far as I know, that's true.
Yeah.
But Scientology makes no bones about it. They put you on a quote. Well, I can't remember the name of that little machine, but it's basically a lie detector.
Right. E-meter.
A what?
E-meter.
E-meter. But right. It's basically a lie detector, and then they record your sessions, and then they keep those recordings.
Right.
And who knows what's on there? Who knows what they have on Tom Cruise and everybody else that, and this, especially the celebrities that go in there.
Yeah, for sure. So as far as Shunning goes, you know, there's those groups, of course, the three that you mentioned that make it it's sort of an out practice. But you know, Shunning also happens in other religions, but kind of on the down low, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I know, like, even my daughter, she has shunned me because...
Was she Catholic? You know, what religion?
She's just Christian. I don't know what flavor. Yeah, I don't know what flavor she is, but, you know, it's...
Yeah, it's, well, it goes
you
on.
You know, just not being able to reconcile my beliefs with hers, and so she's...
Sure.
She said, "I will no longer
communicate
with you."
Yeah, I think all
a year now.
I think all atheists can, recognize that in their own lives, where people, you know, religious people, who shun them. I certainly mm-hmm. can't.
Indeed, atheists get shunned too, especially in certain parts of the Bible Belt. I don't know whether some years ago you know, Top Gear, the very successful BBC TV show about cars and mostly about personalities. In fact, it's a sort of comedy show, really. But they took a trip, a road trip in the Bible Belt, and one of their challenges was to paint each other's car with slogans that would attract attention in the Bible Belt.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah. And
one of them was they put Hillary Clinton on the side of it, yes, and some other, like, yeah, gay stuff, and yes, drove through towns and stopped and parked gas stations, and it was not pretty. It was not. I didn't see the whole episode, but I saw pieces of it.
They got seriously shunned.
Yeah, that's poking the bear, if you ask me.
They were worried for their lives. They had to hightail it, as you'd say,
in
Western movies.
Yeah. Much like a member of ours, our group has put Antifa bus on the side of her car. His car, and drove around in Knoxville for a long time, months,
and
garnered some unwelcome attention, but some welcome attention too, I'm sure. Anyway, how do we start the conversation with believers? I believe, Dred, that was your topic you wanted to bring today.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because I just had a conversation with a Roman Catholic who is a friend of a friend of mine, just visiting in from Ottawa. He was just here for a few days. And I can't remember having a more engaged conversation with someone who was, you know, a believer. And, you know, we talked about Hume and Kant and Descartes and, you know, and some of the apologists of old and of new. And it was very, very engaging. And, you know, certainly as we sort of went down that rabbit hole together, it was with considerable mutual respect. And I think...
Oh, it can happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, it can happen.
Yeah. No.
But, you know, it was just... And that's what kind of got to me. Like, how do you make that...
The norm.
Like how has that become, you know, how do you make that a practice, right?
Mm. Well,
like I was thinking, you know, like there's the SE, the street epistemology or Socratic examination, but that tends to be a one-sided conversation, right? Because it tends to be the questioner and the interlocutor, and it's the examination of the interlocutor's methodology for coming to believe what they believe or their epistemology. Yeah. But, In my most recent experience, it wasn't that. It was much more of a sharing. You know, we changed roles like quite often. He'd be the interviewer and I'd be the interlocutor, and we just go back and forth like that without any kind of managed, like without a program, without any intentionality on how that was going to work. So, what your guys' experience of that might be.
John?
This is the opposite of shunning, really, isn't it? This is holding out the hand of friendship.
Right.
And trying to engage with the opposite side, as it were. And I do it all the time because I did it as recently as last night when on Freethought Hour we had... a fairly local pastor who, a Christian pastor, who, you can watch it. It's on my channel, Freethought Channel. And his name is Alan Cartwright. And he has a church in High Wycombe, which is sort of South Midlands of England. And we had a very nice conversation. Of course, he's a lovely guy. We agree about almost everything except the one thing. And if you look at that conversation, you'll find that we sort of agreed to disagree about the one thing. But where you can't do this is on social media, because social media is such an aggressive place. There's no cues of humanity coming off the text, is there?
Right. Yeah.
So, and that's where I meet my guests. Usually on a Facebook group called Unbelievable? Mm-hmm. And that's where I met Alan. And so we went from texting to each other to having a private video chat to having a public show. And it was all very good. We still disagree. I mean, my co-host and I asked him some pertinent questions, and we really need to get back to it. We only limit that show to 1 hour. And obviously, that's the tip of an iceberg.
Well, yeah, you could have a whole series of shows.
Yes.
In ad infinitum.
Ad infinitum, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or ad nauseum.
That's yes.
Depending on how the conversation is going, right?
Well, yeah, depending on the point of view of the audience. Yeah. So yeah. I actually have an in-life, IRL, in real life, account of this too, a bit like Dredd, where many years ago now, I was at a children's playground. I mean, the kids are past going to children's playgrounds now. But back then, I was at a children's playground, and I bumped into another father who was at the same playground with some of his children and engaged him in conversation. It usually starts with the weather in this country, you know, but then progresses. And I discovered that he was a Christian. He discovered that I was an atheist because he'd just come and taken over the pastorship of a local church, a new Reformed Baptist, I think biblical. So I can't remember the name.
Baptist, that's funny.
Yeah. There's lots of different flavors of baptism. They all choose the one that they fit best.
Of course, right.
Anyway, that worked into a regular meetup. He and I would meet for coffee, and we would chat, and we would talk about why we think the way we do. And this went on for, I don't know, a year, 2 years perhaps. And it was all very, very friendly. And I was impeccably polite to him, you know. But he got to the stage where it turned out that he wanted to convert me. And when he realized that he wasn't going to succeed, then he just stopped.
Yeah, I've had that happen several times.
Yeah.
They don't tell you up front, but, you know.
It's not quite shunning. It's just cutting off. He doesn't respond anymore. If I approach him, he doesn't.
I'd say that's shunning. I've had many, many conversations, not only online, but in person. I used to, I'm 72, and I've been off and on retired for, I don't know, 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And I'd go downtown, sit at the park with an Ask an Atheist sign out there. I'd go to the University of Tennessee campus and sit and talk to kids there. I've had a lot of conversations, and there are nothing more rewarding than having a good back and forth between people, a good respectful back and forth. And it happens a lot more than you would think. Sometimes, you know, feelings get worked up as soon as you exist, basically. Right. I've had people throw slurs at me just walking by, throwing slurs at me.
Yes. And
then, of course, they'll be the first to say that the Christians are the persecuted group in America.
Right.
Yes. You know, but they have a persecution complex that's built into the religion itself.
Yeah.
But all in all, the conversations are worth having.
Yeah.
I have an idea, my personal hypothesis, why they behave like that. It's the reason is because their belief is them. They've embodied it. They emotionally
adopted it. The Bible itself tells them that they will be persecuted for their beliefs. So they internalize that, and no matter how they're treated in society, they are. The Bible says they'll be persecuted. So any opposition that
it's built in victimhood.
Right.
Yeah.
It's persecution.
I don't have to do that because you know. I've got evidence. I don't need to be emotional about what will happen if I jump out of this window because, it's incontrovertible. But when there's matter that is dubious and you've nailed your flag to the mast of one side or the other, then you can only defend it emotionally.
Right.
And, of course, if that's challenged, then you're going to take it hard.
Yeah. Right. My boss used to say, that's your baby. You know, like it's something that you work up and present. It's your baby. And if anybody criticizes it, you know, they're criticizing your baby. Yeah. And same thing with your religion or your livelihood or even your looks, for that matter.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's because they own it. Now, I don't have to own the laws of gravity, you know. They're not mine. They're public.
Right. Yeah. Well, and, you know, just like Larry is alluding to, is that we're very invested in our beliefs and tend to not be able to distinguish ourselves from our beliefs. And so if our beliefs are attacked, it feels like a personal attack.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I mean, the saying goes is you can hate the game, but you don't need to hate the player. No. Right. You know, it's not ad hominem. And most people just don't get that attacking their ideas is not the same as attacking a person. And just recently, actually, I was having a sort of a text off with the pastor of a local Baptist church here because I wanted to, because I broached the subject of updating the entrance signs into our community that list all the religious and spiritual services available.
Oh.
And of course, the sign currently only displays those Christian religious and spiritual services.
Really? Not even a Hindu or Muslim or any of that?
Exactly. And and so anyway, I had, like the Pastafarians, we've been in our local spiritual directory in the newspaper.
Yeah.
It comes out every 2 weeks. You know, the spiritual directory is free, and those that, you know, offer services are get to advertise their services for free. And so we've been in there as Pastafarians for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
As have, you know, the Baha'i and a Buddhist church, or not a church, but a Buddhist organization. And so, you know, my motivation was to not only get the Pastafarians up on this sign, but to be inclusive of other belief systems, which are not necessarily Christian.
Right.
And man, did he just take holy offense to that. He's like, well, it's a private sign and we put it up. And he said, you actually have no evidence to that effect because I've already done the research. And it's, you know, these signs have been erected as they were essentially a gift to the community. So they're actually posted on public land.
Well, that's even better.
Doesn't entitle them to any say about it.
Right? Well, you know what? Gift your own sign. And if they won't put it up, then you've got a discrimination issue.
Yeah. Well, actually, what I was trying to do in all fairness was to engage them to be open enough to allow.
That would be the first step.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, but I thought I would do the right thing in my mind, do the right thing first by engaging them in a polite way to see if they would be willing to participate. And when push comes to shove, my own sign is going up. Or our own sign, and I'll get the Baha'is and the Buddhists to see if they're interested in participating as well.
Okay, well, very good.
We're probably at the bottom of the hour here, eh?
Yeah, that's right. At this point, we should probably break for station identification. This is the WOZO radio station at 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Snakes, I've had them. Let's get out of here. Go raise this family someplace out of town. They left the garden just in time with the landlord cussing right behind. They headed east and finally settled down. One thing led to another. A bunch of sons, one killed his brother. They kicked him out with nothing but his clothes. The human race survived. Those brothers all found wives.
where they came from, ain't nobody knows. Then came the flood, go figure, just like New Orleans, only bigger. No one who couldn't swim would make it through. Well, the lucky ones were on a boat, think circus, and then make it float and hope nobody pulls the plug on you. How they fed that crowd is a mystery. It ain't down in the history, but it's a cinch they didn't live on cakes and jam. Lions don't eat cabbage, and in spite of that old adage, you will never see one lie down with a lamb. Charlie Darwin looked so far into the way things are, he caught a glimpse of God's unfolding plan. God said, I'll make some DNA, they can use it any way they want, from paramecium right up to man. They'll have sex and mix up sections of their code, they'll have mutations, the whole thing works like clockwork over time. I'll just sit back in the shade while everyone gets laid. That's what I call intelligent design. Yeah, you and your cat named Felix, you both wrapped up in that double helix, is what we call intelligent design.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's take just a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 20th year now with over 1,000 members. We have weekly in-person meetings in Knoxville's Old City at Varley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables every Tuesday evening between 5 and 8 o'clock. Or if it's pretty weather, we'll be outside on the deck. We also have Tuesday evening Zoom meetings if you'd like to join us. If you can't get out, you're not in Knoxville, just want to sit at the computer and talk to other atheists for a little while, join us by emailing us at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. And we'll send you the link. You can find ASK online on Facebook, meetup.com, or go to their website at knoxvilleatheist.org, or just Google Knoxville Atheist. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist in your town, an atheist group, sorry, in your town. Don't find one? Well, start one. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dredd, where you want to pick up?
Well, so we were talking about how to engage people of a religious mind that in a more respectful way, to to not have them hate us as atheists or otherwise religiously oriented, as I like to call myself. You had your hand up there, John.
Well, yeah, because I think we're on a loser by attempting to do that. And it links to your admirable attempt to get the entrance to your town labeled as multi-faith. Because the trouble is what they do, particularly, I mean, Christians are the main culprits here because they're the biggest, they're the majority of members in the world that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And the trouble is that, like we were saying about they have to own their faith and have to defend it emotionally, that makes them dogmatic about it. And they don't like to be challenged, naturally. And so they think, because they're right, they think they've got rights, you know, which they can impose on others.
Entitlements. Yeah.
Exactly. And we think they've got privileges. It's an entirely different kettle of fish.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree totally. And, you know, and it's like here in British Columbia, I probably mentioned this on previous shows, but the public purse for public education, a large chunk of it, up to 35% of the budget, goes to private schools that have a religious portion to their education. It generally is Christian schools. There's some Muslim or Islamic. And here in, and also here in British Columbia, by statute, churches, of course, get a considerable tax benefit on property taxes. And then municipalities, you know, once that has been knocked down by 90% under statute, they go hat in hand to the municipal councils and area directors to have relief of the remaining 10%. And of course, that's not enough. They've got to now claw their way to include parking lots, which can, of course, be twice to three times the size of the footprint of the building that houses their faith. And they do this completely unapologetically. You know, it's an expectation and entitlement. And how dare you speak against it? It's just, it's horrible.
It is horrible. And historically, it's been horrible too, because, of course, where you are, this use of public money has been squandered by Christians, again, mostly Christians, on schools where infants were buried, where they died.
Yeah.
The indigenous peoples who were trying to be divorced from their culture and language and everything. Mm-hmm. And this has reached such a pitch that even the Pope has had to go over to you and apologize quite recently.
Well, and what's really striking about that is, you know, I believe that apology was completely vacuous. And the fact that many of the native peoples are religious, Christians, identify as Christians. Mm. So, you know, somehow they've been sated by that apology, and that somehow that's enough. And, of course, at the same time, I see other, you know, reports from indigenous families who've suffered that indignity for three or more generations who say, well, you know what? I never got to see the Pope. The leaders get to see the Pope.
Yeah.
But the people that actually did the suffered it are still suffering because, of course, it was an empty gesture on behalf of the Pope part, not to mention the fact that, you know, the Canadian government and our provincial governments help, you know, support the to host him.
Yeah,
and, of course, that's at no small expense, I can imagine.
Yeah. Well, I've been reporting on this over the months in my Global Atheist News.
Yeah.
And the trouble with an apology is it can't make the past better, but hopefully it might improve the future.
But you have to consider that the creed remains the same. It's still misogynistic. Mm. It's still dogmatic. Mm. It's still homophobic. It's still anti-autonomy for women's rights. It's horrible. It's still a horrible club to be a part of.
Yeah.
And to have, you know, it'd be like, having a Hell's Angel say he's sorry for all the drug trafficking and he's still dealing drugs. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just, it's so,
egregious.
Of course, right?
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned misogyny. And of course, the Catholic Church is particularly misogynist. You can't even be a member of their clergy if you're female.
Yep.
And as you say, they don't support bodily autonomy commonly. And even the few saints that they have who are female are the exception rather than the rule.
Well, yeah, for sure. And I mean, you think about the latest female saint. What was her name? Mother Teresa?
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like, when you actually delve into that a little bit, as Christopher Hitchens had, she was not by any means a saint that we would understand. I mean, you know, the Catholic Church can canonize whoever they want. But when you look into what she was really all about in the, you know, actually, you know, supporting poverty really in what she was doing, rather than trying to make things better for people, it was horrible, horrible.
She was glorifying suffering.
Yes. Yeah. Well, certainly not suffering herself.
No, indeed. Yeah. But getting the best treatments herself. Yes.
Yeah.
Typical hypocrisy.
It is, yes, and it's so unfortunate. Again, how do you engage people who are so clearly hypocritical, and try to have a decent conversation with them? I mean, like I said, the reason I thought it would be a good subject is because I just had a really good interaction, but those are so far and few between.
Yeah. Especially when simply pointing out the hypocrisy they feel is an attack.
Yeah.
You know, just you're downhill from there.
Yeah.
Well, what can you do?
So were there any viewer comments from the last couple of shows that Larry?
I've not received any. No.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay. I Dadis Trading Room was on our show on here, but he was remarking that about the difference between StreamYard and Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And, initially, I had it on the small screen, but I've expanded it to the full screen, so it looks more like Zoom. So hopefully, but I can't read his comments at the same time. I need two screens for that, right?
Yeah, I did get a comment directly on Facebook, and it's one I get all the time, so maybe we'd like to address it.
Sure. So,
why can't we just let them believe what they want to believe? Why do we have to intervene? Why do we have to speak up? Why can't we just leave well enough and all alone?
John, take it.
I'm going to turn that round, because I don't care what nonsense anybody believes, but I strongly care when they try and inflict their views on us.
Right. Talking about hypocrisy.
Yes.
They want us to be quiet, but they certainly aren't themselves.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it was interesting when I told you about talking to this Baptist pastor. He said, well, you guys just mock the Bible. I said, you know, and I said, look, I don't have to. I mean, because there's enough material there. I don't need to write new stuff. You know, as far as the absurdity of it.
And if he's complaining that we don't mock the other holy books, it's only because we live in a book that is, you know, monolithic to Christianity, not other holy books. If we lived in, I don't know, Pakistan, we'd probably be talking about Islam.
Quran, or
but we're probably doing it secretly.
under threat of death for apostasy blasphemy or whatever. It's pretty striking. I was going to say also that like as far as institutions go, like right now, I've just been sent an FOI package. I haven't received it yet. Freedom of Information package from ICBC, which is the Insurance Corporation of British Columbia, with respect to my wearing this in my license.
Oh, yes. Yeah, update.
So I've asked for all correspondence, like even inter-office correspondence with respect to it. Anything that has to do with Pastafarianism, Tricorn, Colander, Pastafarianism, or Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, anything to do with myself personally. So I'm looking forward to that probably thick package because it goes back as far as 2016.
Did you get an attorney to form your question or form your query for that?
No, no. It was actually really straightforward. I based it on a Freedom of Information request that was made by a reporter for the Vancouver Sun, which is one of the major provincial newspapers, and just essentially used his as a template for my request. Yeah. So, and because he had gone back to 2014, where another pastafarian had made much more of a public spectacle of trying to get his license with a colander. He was going for the colander, and so there was probably 200 pages of material just in the space of a year and a half that he got. So I'm probably going through a big ream of paper here coming up here next week. But at that point, of course, I'll take it to either the ombudsman or the Civil Liberties Association for constitutional rights. So, yeah, that's where that's my trajectory right now.
So what would amuse me would be if some of the Christian bishops applied for their driving license with a mitre on their head.
Exactly, right? Like, you know, it's the arbitrariness of it. Why is ICBC the defender of the faith?
Yes.
Like, give me a break, you know? Like, I understand that, you know, the Queen is the head of state in Canada. And
there is official, an official.
Yeah, there is a de facto state religion because she's the titular head of the Anglican Church. And despite the fact that the Charter of Rights is very clear in its verbiage about freedom of religion and religious expression, it's not. it's not in practice anyway.
No. Well, there you go. The trouble is with these dogmatic people is they not only think they've got rights, which we would call privileges, but they think they've got knowledge, which we can
get. Right.
I met an Australian yesterday, I think it was, who made a video that said, effectively, we shouldn't be attempting to do anything about climate change because it's all in God's hands.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well,
and that's a whole nother topic, right? I think we've been there before about, you know, religious people, you know, it's almost, they're almost encouraging it the end of the end of the world because it'll bring them to the, you know, the rapture or,
right, and that gets back to the question that I was asked: why do we open our mouths? Why don't we just let people believe what they want to? Because of the harm it does,
right?
You know, if we sit, we have how long has atheism been sitting around keeping its mouth shut?
Yeah,
how long? 200 years at least since the founding of the nation. Very rare instances has an atheist ever spoke up, but now that we're doing it en masse, pretty much, it's starting to become a problem, and they're telling us to shut up.
Yeah.
And, we've got to have the conversation.
Yeah.
It needs to be.
Well, I wasn't there a survey done in America, and probably several of them, with respect to elected officials that they would sooner have a homosexual elected president than an atheist?
Anybody, we're at the bottom.
Some states, you can't be out as an atheist and run for office.
If you ask them why they won't vote for like a communist, well, they're atheists. You know, right. Comes the answer. It's not because of their political views; it's because they're atheists.
Right. How's it? Is it like? What's it like over in England with that? With atheism?
Well, it depends where you are, because locally, there's no pressure on atheists. It's the normal thing. in this part of the world. But if you were to go to, I don't know, I don't really want to name any areas, but there are certain cities with ghettos, I suppose, of particular religions, like strong Judaism, strong Islam, where it would be very dangerous, I think, to start contesting people's views.
So how many members of the House of Lords are out atheists?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I'm not sure of how many it is. There are some, I can tell you, but I don't know how many it is. I know there's 22 bishops. That's the number that is constitutionally appointed by the Archbishop, right, in conjunction with the Prime Minister.
They have a right to appoint members of Parliament.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
But they don't have a lot of power. Our upper house is not like your Senate. They can only advise and amend. They can't actually make legislation or prevent legislation passing through.
They can just influence it.
Yes.
Well, there you go. They don't have to put their names to it. They can just influence the heck out of it. To swing votes their way, or
swing their legislation. Like any other lobbyist.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah.
But we've got cases, sort of ongoing cases, of where in these parts of the UK I'm talking about, the governance of a school has been taken over by, the instance I'm thinking of is by a group of Muslims. And they have tried to impose standards on the way the school is run that is quite unacceptable here. And there's been a number of court cases as a result of it, because staff have been sacked on dubious grounds, you know, heresy or blasphemy grounds.
Right.
And you can't do that in this country.
Well, and you can't even do anyway.
You can't even do it. You can't even do hate speech in this country because you get locked up.
Yeah.
Well, another thing we've seen here in, I think it's all North America to some extent, but certainly in BC, where there's more, there's a larger population of Indigenous people, and identifying in different tribes and groups and whatnot, where archaeological digs are governed by some very antiquated dogmatic prohibitions, like against women anthropologists participating in a dig while they're menstruating.
Cool.
Are you aware of that?
No.
Yes, yeah. And it's getting worse. Because, again, with this truth and reconciliation thing going on, it's an entitlement to respect their beliefs. And that, again, as we were talking about, where we should be able to separate a person from their beliefs.
Right.
And that beliefs, of course, are always open to ridicule or investigation or criticism. That this is not, this truth and reconciliation thing is pushing that practice aside, where if you criticize a person's beliefs, you're criticizing the person and will be thusly dealt with.
How far from that is blasphemy laws?
It's all the same thing. Right?
Yeah. Well, it reminds me.
You know, it was only in 1978 that blasphemy laws in Canada were abrogated.
Yeah.
78.
So it's actually pretty recently. Right?
Shamefully.
And the courts still tacitly abide by them in their decisions. Like when the decision for my court case with the Supreme Court in BC, they said, well, you know, you can't say you don't have elements of satire in your religion, so therefore you've just proven us right that you're just a group of people that mock other people. And it's like, no, that does not follow. But again, the court upholds its own opinions in the face of opposition, right?
Yeah, I just looked up in America, do any states still have blasphemy laws? And they say that some of them do, but that's from the Founding Fathers Day or the founding of the state.
Right.
But in 2009, Michigan, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Wyoming, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania had laws revoked from their books. So it was 2009. That was 11 right. years, 13 years ago.
Yeah, shamefully, I could beat that. We have a lot of antiquated, non-repealed laws on our statute book. Things like, I don't know whether this is still in force, but something to do with a policeman has got to use his cape to shield a woman who's squatting to have a pee.
I know. Yeah. Well, our laws are, I mean, we can say that something is not unconstitutional, and we don't have to pass a law specifically for those things. We can just say that this group of things is no longer unconstitutional, and that's what happened here.
In the case of blasphemy, it was finally abolished in England and Wales in 2008. Mind you, nobody had been prosecuted for
under those laws for a long time.
Right. Yeah, probably 100 years. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was interesting that a fellow pastafarian who lived in Quebec at the time, she had gone to the Quebec's Supreme Court for the licensing thing, and the judge had at one point said that if I could have charged you for blasphemy, I would.
Ooh.
Like, wow.
Wow.
That tells you a lot about
there. Yeah.
Tells you a lot about him and not very much about her.
Of course. Yeah. And interestingly, I was recently contacted, and I probably mentioned this before, contacted by a gentleman in Ontario who has now, because our licenses are issued for 5 years, has now twice been granted a license wearing a colander.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So his one expires in 2024 or something like that. And he reached out to me and said, I've been, I just heard about this. And there you go. Go ahead, Larry.
We're getting close to the top of the hour. We need to bring in our last words or whatever going
on. Sure. So where can we find you, John?
I'm on Free Thought Channel. That's all you have to do. You put those two words into the YouTube search bar, and that's our channel. It's not just me. I've got
that's
a team
three
of
words.
People.
Yeah. Isn't no, there a hyphen between free thought or something?
One word, free thought.
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can find my stuff. I'm on YouTube. I live stream this at 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on my YouTube channel, Mind Pirate, MindPyrat. I also, when I am available, participate on Free Thought, Free-Thought production. Global Atheist News Review, where I get to have some opinions about things. I love it. And I do that. I live stream that on my channel as well at 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on Sundays.
Yep.
How about Larry? Where can we find your stuff?
Two words. Digital Free Thought. I always used to call them as three, but who cares? digitalfreethought.com. And be sure to click on the blog button for our radio show archives. The Atheist Songs, we have dozens of them on there. Even though Steve, says there are no Atheist Songs. Who is that? Steve Martin.
Oh, Steve
there
Martin.
Are many. My YouTube channel can be found by searching for Daughter 5 or Digital Free Thought Radio. You can find my book, Atheism, What's It All About, on Amazon. If you have any questions for the show, send them to, thank you, Dread.
Yeah.
askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com, and we'll answer them on future shows. You can find the Atheist Society of Knoxville at knoxvilleatheist.org. If you're having trouble leaving religious beliefs behind, you can get help at Recovering from Religion. The website is recoveringfromreligion.org. You can find this show on podcasts everywhere. Just search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye.